Prabhus, we are reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 3. And the verses are from 163 to 167. So verse 163, I'll just read them and then we'll recite 167 together. 163 translation. Frequently the Lord would tumble to the ground. Seeing this, Mother Sachi would cry. 164. Srimati Sachi Mata thought that the body of Nimai was being smashed when he fell down. So she cried, "Alas!" and petitioned Lord Vishnu. Can you imagine what she's going through? 165 translation. My dear Lord, kindly bestow this benediction as a result of whatever service I have rendered unto you from my childhood. 166 translation. Whenever Nimai falls to the surface of the earth, please do not let him feel any pain. Such is the mind of the mother. And now we have, I do apologize, that was 166, we're on 167. Translation, when Mother Sachi was thus overwhelmed in maternal love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she became transformed with happiness, fear, and humility, as well as bodily symptoms. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. These verses indicate that Mother Sachi, born in the family of Nilambar Chakrabarti, used to worship Lord Vishnu even before her marriage. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Prapya punya kritam lokan visitva vasiste samaha suchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brasto bijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Mother Sachi, a Nitya Siddha living entity, is an incarnation of Mother Jashoda. She appears in the house of Nilambara Chakrabarti and was everlastingly engaged in the service of Lord Vishnu. Later, she directly had as her child Lord Vishnu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she served him from the day of his appearance. This is the position of Nitya Siddha Associates. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings Gaurangera Sangya Gone Nitya Siddha Kori Mane. Every devotee should know that all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his family members, friends, and other associates, are all Nitya Siddhas. A Nitya Siddha never forgets the service of the Lord. He is always engaged, even from childhood, in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaste Satarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatrupascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I humbly seek the blessings and the mercy of the assembled Vaishnavas and of course the unassembled Vaishnavas today and all the eternal days to come, for you all are indeed, can indeed fulfill everyone's desires, just like desire trees. And you are indeed full of compassion for the conditioned souls such as moi. Bit of French there. Prabhus, this is a very, very pleasing part of the CC, the Madhya Leela. This chapter entitled, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stay at the house of Advaita Acharya. Such a relishing chapter. In his Amrita Prabha Bhasya, our Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a concise summary of this third chapter. So, after accepting the sannyas order at Katwa, Lord Chaitanya traveled continuously for 3 days in Radhadesh. And by the trick of Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda is full of trickery, eventually Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, came to the western side of Santipur. Lord Chaitanya was, as we know, induced in believing that the river Ganges is none other than the Jamuna. How amazing, how extraordinary. When the Lord was worshipping the sacred river, Lord Advaita appears in a boat. Many a times I've contemplated that scene. How would that have manifested such? Can you imagine when Lord Advaita, such a personality, appearing in a boat? Lord Advaita, of course, takes Mahaprabhu and takes his bath in the Ganges and took him then to his house. There, all the devotees of Navadvip, along with Mother Sachi, came to see the Lord. Mother Sachi Devi had cooked for both Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. And at that time, there were many joking exchanges between Lord Advaita and Lord Nityananda. Now, these joking exchanges are quite remarkable. Exceptionally relishing, if those of you have come across any of these descriptions, quite unique. In the evening, there was a mass sankirtan at the house of Lord Advaita. And Sachimata gave Lord Chaitanya permission to leave. It was there that she requested the Lord to make his headquarters Jagannath Puri, Nilachal. Lord Chaitanya granted his mother this request. And naturally, followed by Lord Nityananda, Mukunda, Jagadandandam Pandit, and Damodar, he leaves Shantipur. And when he leaves Shantipur, to the devotees he leaves behind, it's actually very, very devastating. Exceptionally, excruciatingly devastating. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Madhya Khand, in the 19th chapter, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, anyone read it? Seen it? Of course, Srinivas Prabhu, our scholar and pundit, has read each and every book on the planet. Anything to do with ISKCON and Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, he would have read. Anyone else? Oh, you have it. Wonderful. you haven't opened it yet. So these pastimes are in relatively good detail. Now and again, I go through my folder because once upon a time, I made good, nice notes. Of course, you forget these notes because then the folder remains in the cupboard and you don't really look at it. So I've got to really discipline myself that look at what my notes have been like. But anyway, there's quite a lot of detail. Lord Advaita begins to preach Mayavad philosophy. Wow, can you imagine that? And when, of course, Mahaprabhu hears this, he is raging. And, of course, that pastime is there. Lord Nityananda enters Puri for the first time. And quite uniquely, now, when Lord Nityananda is in the house of Advaita Acharya, of course, who is so pleased every time to see him? And this is Sita Thakurani, the consort of Lord Advaita. Sita Thakurani is an exceptional cook, one of the many mothers of Lord Nityananda. The wife of Sribas Thakur. Sribas Thakur's appearance, I believe, according to our calendar, is on Monday. Malini Devi, another profound cook. They're all great cooks, aren't they? Lord Nityananda would always go to the house of, or is always going to the house of Sribashanga, and he would have prasad cooked by Malini Devi. But here he is in the house of Advaita, and Sita Thakurani exceptionally relishes him being there. Because when he's there, you're guaranteed entertainment. Entertainment profound. And so when he, you know, the pastime of Lord Nityananda throwing rice at Advaita Acharya, such an incredible, personal, overwhelming leela. And it upsets Lord Advaita. But when Sita Thakurani sees and observes, she's overwhelmed. She's literally in stitches. So these are the pastimes which occur in the house of Lord Advaita. When Lord Nityananda, when he comes to Puri, the pastime is given that without not following any etiquette, because this is the Supreme Lord, he can do absolutely whatever he wants, without no follow of etiquette, he just runs to see Lord Jagannath in Puri. And Lord Jagannath, anyone not been to Puri? Not been to Puri? Wow. Taruna Prabhu, you've not been. Of course, you may not be allowed in the temple because I get harassed all the time. But you've not been. Cyrus, you've got to go. So when you go inside, and I've been inside with great difficulty, you know, if you could imagine Lord Nityananda running through, not following any etiquette, can you imagine what the pandas are thinking and doing? They are in rage. They come immediately to where the Lord, and he's running literally, he's going so fast because he's so eager to see Jagannath. And when they, soon as they come to him, it's like the Lord has a force field. Soon as they try and just, you know, come anywhere near his transcendental body, they go flying back. It's like, you know, he's got a force field around him. So all these hundreds of people come and they cannot touch him. He gets to the altar, which is a shalagram shila on top which the lordships are rested upon, and he immediately just jumps onto the altar. And with his elongated arms, I mean, his arms are elongated, and the deities, Lord Jagannath is possibly, you know, this much. And he just goes right round and he hugs Lord Jagannath and doesn't let go. And he's just hugging it, just not letting go. Of course, now, unfortunately, we're not allowed to hug each other. We're not allowed to shake hands. And this may be the thing of the past for many, many months, if not years to come, Prabhus. And therefore, we have that little pamphlet thing there, stuck there. But Lord Nityananda, he's hugging the deity of Lord Jagannath, not letting go. Not observing any etiquette at all. Of course, he's the Lord. We can't follow him. When we enter the temple room, there has to be certain etiquette. And that's why sometimes I'm reluctant to enter our temple room. Because I fear, and I fear that, okay, I don't want to talk to anyone. Nilamadava, do not talk to anyone. Have no eye contact. Because otherwise, a devotee will come to you and say, oh, Prabhu, can I just show you this? Can I do this? Can I? No, I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm just going to, you know, blank everyone out. For this is the etiquette. When in front of the Lord, you do not talk. Unless it's about the Lord, regarding the Lord, you cannot say anything. In the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, our handbook, incidentally, our manual, it's not the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is indeed the NOD. That's our manual. And in the sixth chapter, entitled, How to Discharge Devotional Service. Anyone recently read this sixth chapter of the NOD? Anyone referring to it at all? Anyone? Srinivas Prabhu, anything there? You've read the NOD recently? Okay. If he hasn't, then none of us have. There are 64 regulated principles have been given, and so what's of significance are the principles relating to how we should behave and conduct ourselves when we are in the temple room, unless we're Lord Nityananda, which we're not. Now, the total regulative principles come to an aggregate of 64 items. Out of these 64 items, Prabhu's 5 items are of significance, namely worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and associating among devotees. Now, that's interesting, associating amongst the devotees, Vaishnav Sangha. But Prabhu is careful how you do that in the temple room, when the curtains are open, when the deities are right there. Srila Prabhupada is right here. He's present. So be careful. Sankirtan, number 4, Sankirtan. And, of course, living in Mathura. These 5 are very important of the 64. Principle 4 states one should learn to dance before the deity. One should learn. Now, have you ever seen me dance? Because, I kid you not, Prabhus, I cannot. I refrain myself from dancing. The biggest step I take is the Swami step. But here, I've got to learn how to dance. Of course, I'm not Govinda. He can dance, you know, dance till the cows come home. So dancing, principle number 5 states one should learn to bow down immediately upon seeing the deity. Or, of course, the guru. Now, I'm very kind of conscious of this. I enter the temple room there, through there, and, of course, immediately you bow down. And I so am sometimes reluctant to do so when I'm with a dignitary. And I know that I should bow down, even though this dignitary may think that, what the heck is this guy doing? But it's there. On many occasions, if I'm with an important person, I do somewhat explain. People are reluctant to bow down, isn't it? We do it frequently. We do it all the time. In and out of the rooms, when the spiritual master is there, we do bow down. Now, recently, I've had a bit of an issue, because every time I'm in the presence of Vishakha Prabhu, I really want to bow down. And when I bow down, I know that she will bow down, and that is a problem for me. Now, I don't want her to bow down. What do I do? Got to address it somehow. Bow down in the mind, pay your obeisances in the mind, vancha kalpa, that kind of thing. Because I know if I bow down, then, you know, it's not going to be quite right. She's a guru figure. 11 states, one must render personal service to the deity. Now, that's a good one. That we can kind of do, we can adhere to. Personal service means, like this morning, we had to remove those things there, the pot and where the charnamrita is being gone. Now, washing these items, it's all personal service. Unfortunately, at present, we have no choice but to remove the charnamrita due to the circumstances. Now, to wash, whoever washes those items on a daily basis, this is personal service. Whoever is cleaning the temple room floor is indeed personal service. Maybe menial, but it's personal. So one must serve the deity. This is item number 11. Number 12, one must sing. Now, when I come across singing, have you ever heard me sing, Prabhus? For I cannot. I'm very reluctant to do so, but one must sing. Whatever voice you have, you may be an eloquent singer, you may be a terrible singer, but one must sing in front of the deity. 13, one must perform sankirtan, which is singing in one sense, glorification of the Lord. 14, one must chant. When you come and see the lordships, you must chant mantra. So that's there. 15, one must offer prayers. Now, many a times, you know, I pay obeisance. Namo Vishnu Padaya. My mind's all over the place. Pay obeisance. Namaste prayers. Namaste prayers, Lord. Jai Shri Shri Radha Goklananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Gonitai Bhagavan ki jai. When the namaste prayers are there, the mind is somewhat more little bit focused. Okay, we're praying for our protection. I think devotees are very much attached to those namaste prayers. Everything else, we may not be so conscious. Of course, myself, I've got to admit it. I've got to be honest, for I am sitting on the Vyasasan. I'm not at all conscious of anything. It's very, very mechanical. And I kid you not. So, 15 is one must offer prayers. 16, one must recite noble prayers. Now, of course, noble prayers are the prayers to the spiritual master. They're noble. Anything other than that, yes, we can offer noble prayers to the deities. I have an issue when I see that a devotee is just standing there in front of the lordships and for minutes at a time, possibly hours at a time, and I'm thinking he is such a fortunate personality. For if I were to stay there for minutes and above, my mind would go all over the place. I'd be committing so many offenses. So this one's a tough one for me in particular. Noble prayers. 17, one must taste Mahaprasad. Now that, Prabhus, is probably the best one. I'm sure all of you, in particular me, on many occasions, I have stolen Mahaprasad. I shall admit in front of you, I have stolen, no doubt. And I will do so in the future, hopefully. I steal Mahaprasad, and many a times I am reprimanded by my wife at home in particular. So, one must taste Mahaprasad. I will quote this. 17. 18, one must drink Charnamrita. Wow. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? I mean, it's been taken away. No Charnamrita. But this is here, number 18. So the powers that be, I'm going to quote this to everyone, I'll stick that on there. Number 18 is drink Charnamrita. And it's been taken away. Hopefully, for the time being, hopefully temporarily. It's so painful. Because as soon as you've taken darshan, naturally you want to honor the Charnamrita. It's the NOD, Nectar of Devotion. 19, one must smell incense and flowers offered to the deities. The flowers have been taken away. This is sacrilegious. This blinking COVID-19 is blasted thing. Is everything been taken away? The flowers are taken away. The incense is there. The pujari there. He's offering the incense and he's going to offer the flowers. But I'm not going to be able to experience the aroma of those yellow flowers. Of course, I shouldn't be contemplating upon them because they haven't been offered yet. But it's been taken away. Hopefully again temporarily. 20. One must touch the lotus feet of the deity. Wow. Now, we can't really do that. So what I generally tend to do is when I'm along the corridor of the temple president and there's the staircase, after leaving the office, there's that nice, you know, the 3D picture of, you know, Krishna and Radharani. And of course, you know, you're meant to do that with your right hand. So really forget the feet of Lord Krishna. But I'm in somewhat of a habit to touch the feet of Srimati Radharani. And it's a habit which I've been doing since it's been there. They've been there for several years. That's as far as I can get. Of course, the deities at home, I'm not much of a pujari, I must admit. And if my wife is listening, my son is listening, I'd apologize for that. So that's a tough one, to touch the feet of the deities. 21, one must see the deity with great devotion. My Lord, with great devotion, as if I have any devotion. So better for me not to take so much of a lengthy darshan. But those who have devotion, most certainly we should all see the deity with great devotion. 22, one must offer arti and different at different times. One must offer arti. Now, how many of us have that opportunity of offering arti? I seldom do. But it's mentioned here. 22. Then 24, I'll skip 23 because it's not related to what we're saying here. 24, one must pray to the deity for his mercy. So this is our prayer. Continuous prayer to their lordships, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. Please be merciful upon us, upon me. This should be the prayer. 25, one should remember the deity. So wherever we may be, we are Gokulananda Vasis, Bhaktivedanta Manor Vasis. We may be at Soho Street. We may be in front of the devotees of Lord Sri Sri Radha Nandanishwara. But our mind is here, for we are the residents of Radha Gokulananda. We belong to them. So here in 25, one must remember the deity. We may be in Jagannath Puri, but never forget where we belong. We belong here. 26, this is the last one. one should meditate upon the deity. So yes, remembering the deity and the lordships, wherever we are, is good, but we should meditate. We may not have the opportunity to take darshan on a daily basis. Of course, now you've got the technology and you can just take darshan immediately. However, we may not have that opportunity, and possibly even in the future, the way things are going. But meditate upon the deity. So these are the important instructions from the Nectar of Devotion. I think from these instructions, for me, what strikes very much striking me is that as soon as I were to enter these doors, someone may come and speak to me. Now, if that happens, if I'm here and someone comes to speak to me, oh, Prabhu, let's just go in the corner there, not in front of the lordships. Or, okay, I'll pay my obeisance, and then maybe let's just go out. Of course, we are the children of the lordships. So it's very easy to talk to one another. But do be very conscious, and if it's exceptionally essential, whisper, whisper, not so loud. So that's a very important one. And of course, not particularly mentioned here, and I think we are all very, very conscious, is that we cannot honor any prasad in front of the deities. Naturally, we can't eat anything. Chanamrita is generally on the sides. So that's been somewhat taken care of. One very important one, and this I'm reminded of now and again, is, yes, you know, some of our bodies are elderly bodies, and you know, it's difficult to control, and so breaking wind. And I remember many years ago, I was at Soho Street Temple, Radhalandanishwara, and a kaka sitting next to me, and he's breaking wind. And I'm thinking, okay, we're a little distance from the lordships. And, you know, I was a much younger individual, which I possibly still am. This elderly gentleman, he'd been coming for many weeks, possibly months. And then, you know, I thought, what should I do? So, of course, when he left, and I said to him, because I knew that he was Gujarati, I'm from Gujarati background, I just said, Kaka, you know, the breaking of wind. of course, I attempted to befriend him. He was a very nice gentleman. And I unfortunately missed his passing away, because he would constantly take darshan of Radhalandanishwara, and by that time I had moved here. But that comes to my mind, and you know, it's difficult when the body gets elderly. So these, Prabhus, I don't want to dwell upon too much. How I was reminded of this, of course, it's been on my mind for some time, is when, you know, Lord Nityananda, when he rushes in, his pastime in the house of Lord Advaita, and naturally, you know, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avadhut, but for us, you know, we are bound by rules and regulation. In the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada has quoted the famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 641. Prabhupada, in the purport of 641, mentions that the unsuccessful yogis are divided into two classes. One is fallen after very little progress, and one is fallen after long practice of yoga. The yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to the higher planets, where pious living entities are allowed to enter. After prolonged life there, one is sent back again to this planet to take birth in the family of a righteous Brahman Vaishnava or an aristocratic merchants. Interesting. Prabhupada states that the real purpose of yoga practice is to achieve the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. But those who do not persevere to such an extent and who fail because of material allurements are allowed by the grace of the Lord to make full utilization of their material propensities. These are very important words from His Divine Grace. And after that, they are given opportunities to live prosperous lives in righteous and religious families. Srila Prabhupada does, however, further state that those who are born in such families may take advantage of the facilities and try to elevate themselves to full Krishna consciousness. And now and again, I'm reminded of this when I visit our congregational families. And just a couple of weeks back, three or so weeks back, I was at the house of Ghanshyam Prabhu and his son, Akash, our president of the PS. And I had visited them many, many years prior, possibly when they were in East London, and now they're much closer to the manor. And I was reminded when I'd read this once again, and such nice facilities have been given to us. You know, they have a beautiful temple. The house is like a temple. You enter, and the front room is a temple room. Beautiful Gornitai deities. No furniture, because it's the temple room. Everyone sits on the floor. Yes, it's nicely matted. You know, by the way, we are about to get new mats. These are terrible mats. I've got to really, really push His Grace Pranabandha Prabhu. He has taken this project on. So do, when you see him. Prabhu, what's happening about the mats? Do say that. But I went to Akash Prabhu's house and beautiful, you know, floor. And you immediately just want to sit there. The entire temple and the house, everything crystal clean. Not a speck of dust. And, you know, I look around in our temple here. We've got to now really make sure everything is clean. And beyond clean, transcendentally clean. So, we have such unique facility. Very exceptional facilities. And we are indeed exceptionally fortunate that we have these facilities. And so that's our mood. And from this, you know, we can make immense progress. Prabhupada, I'd like to stop there in talking about today's class, on today's verse in the CC, because I just wanted to share a little bit about my experiences with His Grace Shruti Dharma Prabhu and what has occurred. And of course, it's only been literally 2 days. And so, on the 4th of March, 2018, we received the news of the Brahmastra embedded in his mind, in his brain. 2 years passed, and last year, on the 4th of March last year, I was thinking I need to write something. So I wrote a letter. I don't think I'm going to read all of it because it's quite lengthy. It's about 10 or so pages, 10 sides to it. I thought, what should I write? I'm not much of a writer. You may have gathered that. So I'm thinking, you know, Siddhartha Prabhu would immediately write so many things he can write. But then I was thinking to myself, maybe I should go through the years and write about the years I've spent with him. Just highlight, just, you know, what comes to mind and what's been written in my memoirs. So I kind of went through that. And so this letter begins with, "Dearest Shruti Dharma Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisance. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to your grace. 1 year has now passed since you were diagnosed with the Brahmastra embedded within you, which to us all has been utterly devastating, to say the least. Much has occurred during the past 12 months. We have been forced to continue living in your absence, attempting to adjust and somehow continue. So now I thought I'd share with you the principal memories and activities of each year, beginning with 1982. 1982, I have recently been contemplating upon my very first encounter with your grace. I believe it was on a Saturday afternoon in October of 82. I was visiting the manor at age 18. It was a festive day, one of significant auspiciousness, as a huge prasadam feast was being served in the temple room. After the Rajbhog Aarti, I was sitting under the Nrisingadev picture, which was there, just behind Sutapa Prabhu. I was sitting there, and when I noticed a young brahmachari serving, of course I was looking forward to the feast, when I was watching him serving, young brahmachari, soon enough, this brahmachari came to me, and he was serving ISKCON samosas. When was the last time anyone had ISKCON samosas? Possibly not at this temple, for we may have stopped making them. Anyone remember these were not just Punjabi samosas? They're more special. Fried in ghee, paneer inside, peas, cauliflower. And he asked me, "One or two?" I said, "Two, please." So he gave me two. And then followed by plum chutney. ISKCON samosas with plum chutney, it's absolute heaven. When was the last time you had plum chutney? Have you not had it? Are you in an ISKCON temple? Any of our cooks here? Mataji, please make some plum chutney for us, for he has not had any. Gorpunima, there was plum chutney, wasn't there? God, thank you, Tarunapuru. At least that was there, but no samosas. At that time, when I took your darshan, I was thinking to myself, I'd like to be like him when I grow up. I was only 13. 5 long years passed until I would meet you in Pranabandhu once again. 1987, the highlight of it. Highlight of 1987 is, I can just remember, I was doing my A-levels. And of course, trying to do 16 rounds when you're doing your A-levels, when you're almost 18, it's a tough order, just a tall order. So I had a backlog of rounds. And then, you know, I said to Shruti Prabhu, what should I do? I've got, what have I got? How many backlog of rounds? I've noted down here, but I've forgotten now. I've got 100 and something rounds left. What should I do? And of course, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, because you can only ask him. You can't ask someone like Pranabandhu, because he'll just say, chant them now. No mercy. Shruti Prabhu, don't worry about it. Go from afresh. Chant again. It might be difficult. He knows me well. Knows my mind that this guy's completely off his rocker. He's not going to do it. He's not disciplined. He's got no regulation in his life. Don't worry. Start afresh. So that was 87. In 88, this was the joining spirit. And how we were convinced, principally by His Grace Shruti Dharma Prabhu, the world is coming to an end. Nostradamus. You better join. Join the ashram. Become monks. Because it's all going to end. So there was a big thing going on. Anyone remember that in the late 80s? Nostradamus, Govinda Prabhu? It was a big hype. You know, everyone thinking, okay, these prophecies will come true. It was so convincing. You know, the devotees here, they were really having a whale of a time in preaching this and convincing so many. And as a result of that, you know, we were eager. Let's just leave everything. So that was in 1988. 89, the highlight of 89 was certainly to the youth, in the youth programs, we had then formulated the Manor Youth Forum. And every Sunday night, the discussions at the Manor, Sunday night was the best time week I could ever remember here at the Manor. Because afterwards, we would clear up everything. The Prasadam room over there had tables and chairs. Wonderful, nice tables and chairs. So, and the feast, Sunday feast, Iskon Malpura. When was the last time we had Malpura? There's the Gujarati ones, but the Iskon ones, because you know the yogurt? It's strawberry yogurt. It's fresh strawberries and the Malpura. This was the Sunday feast. And we would afterwards, you know, if it's a summer's day, we would sit in the front lawn. The front lawn is there, behind the deities. And everyone would be served. If it was cold and, you know, wintry, we would serve here. This would be chock-a-block. And it was a big feast. Two subjis, you know, farsan, mistan, savouries, sweets, and Malpura. And then afterwards, you know, after possibly around 1:30, 2 o'clock, we would take everything to the prasadam room. So everyone who would be coming late, you know, you'd all get prasad. So anyway, this was in 89 and onwards. And in the evenings were very relishing. Because Shruti Dharma Prabhu, upstairs in Prabhupada's bedroom, would have a few of us, few of the boys. It's just the boys, not the girls. He would have us up there and he would go through certain themes every Sunday. And the best part of it was different religions as well. In Christianity, the copper scroll and what's in there. And oh, he would literally, he really washed our brains. We were brainwashed. We were mesmerized. And that was very relishing. And we would carry on until midnight. Literally, he would give so much of his time to us. That was very relishing. 1990. What a year that was. For me, that was the joining year. On the 10th of September, 90. Joined the temple. Picked up from Edgware Underground Station. Taken straight to the barbers at Kingsbury. In the Kingsbury barbers there. And we were buzzed up. Because we couldn't really do it for some reason at the in the ashram upstairs. I don't know why. But we were buzzed up. And Brahmachari Sachinandan Prabhu, he said, I said to him, look, I'm not fully joined yet. I still have to kind of go home. And do I have to get rid of my hair straight away? And he said, Bhakta Mayor, you have to get rid of your hair now. Oh, Lord. I was thinking, what's my mother going to say? What's, you know, what's going to happen? Anyway, we buzzed up. 1991, due to your engagement and encouragement, and also that of Prana Prabhu, Sitaram Prabhu's, on Nrisimha Chaturdasi day, myself, Prajumna, we put on the sacred cloth. So May of 91 was significant. 92, during the Easter weekend, every year, for many years to come, we had the opportunity of preaching to the young Indian youths during the Hindu youth festivals, which continued until 95. And for me, the 92 youth festival, which was held in Leicester, many difficulties we experienced. Now, has any of you Prabhus here in the temple room experienced the wrath of Shruti Prabhu? Has anyone? His anger? His transcendental anger, should I say? Govinda Prabhu? No. Taruna Prabhu? Possibly. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sutapa Prabhu? You must have. Now, I have been very fortunate, for I have indeed. And Prabhus, you don't want to be there when that appears, that manifestation. It's quite unique. Very unique. And this particular occasion in 1992, Easter weekend, it was a Saturday evening, and there were many problems. And one particular devotee had really misbehaved so badly. And then when we came back, it was a bank holiday Monday, something unique happened. Upstairs, outside the treasury, the corridor there, in between the treasury and your IES office, you've got the wedding office. Back then it was the office of the temple commander. And I was present there with this devotee who had misbehaved, and Shruti Prabhu was somewhat reprimanding him, and this devotee wasn't having it, and Shruti Prabhu took him by the cuff, because don't forget, he was a black belt in karate, and he taught many devotees in the ashram, never taught me, but anyway, he took him by the cuff and literally threw him in the office, and he said to me, you wait here. Now, I am trembling. I am thinking, what is going on? Of course, for Shruti Prabhu, it's all an act. It's for the benefit of me and possibly this devotee. It's an act because he is a profound transcendental actor. He could play absolutely any transcendental character. He threw him into that office, and there were some loud noises. And I'm thinking, I'm literally outside the office guarding. Hopefully no one will enter. But such is your wrath, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, and I am so very fortunate, for I have experienced it numerous occasions, and I have been corrected by you many a times. And when will I be corrected next? 93, throughout 93, we celebrated the 20th anniversary of the manor. And the highlight, your conclusion to this was, for me, Janmashtami. Janmashtami 93 was a big affair, for it was the 20th. And we're clearing up on the front lawn, and Shruti Prabhu, me and you, are exhausted. It's late at night. It used to take us over 3 weeks to just clear up. Now we can do it in what? I think the record's been 3 or 5 days. 5 days have been record. Astounding. And the festival is much bigger. But then it would just take us over 3 weeks. And we'd loaded up the Luton van. And it was late at night. And so he said, Neela, let's just crash out on the slope. So we're both of us are lying there, and Shruti Prabhu, you're looking up at the sky. It was a nice, beautiful stars in the sky. And at a distance, when you're lying there, you can see the Jeffreys Land. across. You can see Jeffreys Land, and you can see a bit of the electricity power station. And there were some lights for some reason. I don't know why. And I was kind of alarmed. And he said to me, "You do know UFOs have landed here?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Yes." And I thought, of course, he's in jest. He's just, you know, he's having a laugh with me. So Shuddy Prabhu, you are having a laugh with me, and you said that, yes, UFOs are here. They're going to be taking us away because we're doing this service at such late night. We're in the mode of ignorance. So they're going to take us, abduct us. Oh, no. Of course, then he chuckled. Then he became normal. And he said, no, don't worry. Go back to sleep. 94 was the, for me, Mayapur. I took initiation there. And that was very, very unique because it was in the temple room with many of the patron families. It was a patron trip, which we did, the second patron trip of its kind. And when I'm taking initiation, Guru Maharaj says to me, "So, you will now chant 25 rounds on Ekadashi." This is not a vow I'm prepared to take. It's all of a sudden. I wasn't told of this, Shruti Prabhu. You never told me. I'm very reluctant, hesitant. What should I do? I look at him. I look at you, Shruti Prabhu. I look at you and I'm thinking, save me. I don't want to take this vow. And Shruti Prabhu, you're looking at the ceiling. And then you look at the floor. You do not have eye contact with me. And I'm sure you're thinking, take the vow. Don't embarrass me or others and yourself. Take the vow. And I just look at him. I gaze upon him. What can I do? What should I do? As it is, it's tough. The four regulative principles, 16 rounds. It's a big thing. And of course, my spiritual master being so very merciful, he could see that I'm just, you know, I'm looking at Shruti Prabhu constantly. And he said, "Okay, I know that you're busy in service. And it will be difficult for you. So try to chant extra rounds." And that was it. I was saved. And after the ceremony, I went over and I said, "Shruti Prabhu, you didn't tell me. I'm not supposed to tell you, Nila Madhava. You are now Nila Madhava. You should have accepted the vow." Of course, he didn't get upset at all. And then I said, "Well, what should I do?" He said, "Well, I know you're a lousy chanter. Chant 21 rounds at least on Ekadashi." So I somewhat maintained that. That was 94. 95, the August of 95... I had received second initiation, and I was tested at the house of Shruti Dharma Prabhu's parents. And of course, and naturally, I fail all the tests because that's me. I can never pass anything. And Shruti Dharma Prabhu was sitting there. Guru Maharaj is on the sofa, and he's asked me these questions. And honestly speaking, Prabhu's, I completely failed. And Bhaktacharya Maharaj, he knows Shruti Dharma Prabhu very well. And he said to me, he said, "Why do you want to take Brahmin?" And I said, "Well, I've been conducting funerals, Guru Maharaj, it's because of that, and people kind of sometimes ask me if I'm a Brahmin or not." And then he turns to Shruti Prabhu, "This boy isn't qualified. His brain is like jelly." And Shruti Dharma Prabhu said, "Yes, Maharaj, I would agree. But he's fixed in what he does." And then Maharaj says, "Well, do you recommend him?" And Shri Prabhupada said, yes, I recommend him. So be it. Tathastu. So be it. That was 95, and you, without you, I wouldn't have possibly passed anything. I never did anyway. 96 was the centennial year, and it was overwhelmingly busy for us. It was so, so busy. And Shruti Prabhu, you had instructed me specifically, okay, Nila Madhava, you go to all the Hindu temples up and down the country if you have to, hold festivals at each and every Hindu temple. For it was the campaign. The campaign was coming to an end. And so we needed the support. And so the centennial year, we did Narad Muni and the cobbler everywhere. Pranabandhu Prabhu was the cobbler. Shutidama Prabhu, you were the brahmana. And I was Narad Muni. Lord Narayan was a devotee, very nice devotee by the name of Devakinandan. And it was only four of us doing this skit, and we went everywhere. And that was in 96. 97, we took the largest number of patrons, and 72 in total. Very nice opportunity we had. And yes, otherwise you may have... He advised me, that was the year I left the ashram. And I said to Shri Prabhu, should I marry the secretary? Of course, I'd written a letter to both Shruti Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu. And when they read that letter, Pranabandhu, Nila Madhava! Where are you? I left the letter, and then I rushed out of the door. It was outside the patron office. And of course, Shruti Prabhu, very understanding. And upstairs, I'm shaving him up in the ashram. And I said, what do you think of her? Should I? And he said, Nila Madhava, I think you better go for it because you may lose her. So that was 97. 98 was the 25th anniversary of Radha Gokulananda, of our temple, of the manor. And yes, Prabhus, it was the biggest festivities we ever had. For on the front lawn, we had an experience tent. A Prabhupada experience tent. And the budget was a very limited budget. But we spent thousands upon thousands of pounds on that experience. And what an incredible year. 99, we were attacked by the gypsies. That was formidable. And for weeks and weeks upon and ends, weeks upon weeks, we were patrolling the grounds at night. And I was driving a Vauxhall Astra estate round and round. And Hari Priya's next to me. And we had a tent in the front, in the circle there. And we reversed the car in there. And we had our duvets. And we slept in the car. And we were, you know, every hour of the day, we had patrols. On one particular day where it was like the peak, we were told by the inside that we were going to be really attacked. So we had, I kid you not, Prabhus, we had 200 youth inside the building, guarding every inch of the temple, at least 200. And we had bought baseball bats and all sorts of gadgets. And outside patrolling the then 78 acres, because, you know, anyone can come from anywhere. We had 12 SAS men. Each one was costing almost £200 a night. One night we did that. Of course, a person sponsored it. Thank the Lord. But 12 fully guarded SAS individuals out there. We had even thought about, you know, having some proper in here, just in case we were attacked. And then the person who is the main security person, if he were to use this, what would we do with him? We would have to hide him. We would have to take him away. So it went to that extent, and it was incredible time. That was 1999, and all this, you know, the guidance is all there. Shruti Prabhu, Prana Prabhu, yes, indeed. Year 2000, oh my Lord, what a year. That was the year of the first mobile for me. And my first mobile was the remnants of His Grace, Shruti Prabhu. It was your remnants. And he said to me, you use this now, I'm getting another one. And we were very reluctant. Can you imagine? We didn't like mobiles at all. And so I wasn't so into it. Of course, I now know why you gave me Shruti Dharma Prabhu, because I ended up paying your bill. Of course, I lost the mobile, unfortunately. Me being so clumsy and incompetent, I left it. And I'd lost it. And back then, it was very difficult to trace things. And so the bill was quite a lot. I paid something like 120 odd pounds. So that was the year of the mobile. I'm jumping because time is of the essence. I'll go to 2006. 2006, David Cameron visited the former Prime Minister. That was a highlight, Shruti Dharma Prabhu. And then, of course, the birth of my son, Gauranga Das, and December. And I'm very proud to say that the very first devotees he took darshan of were Shruti Prabhu and Pranabandha Prabhu. Prior to any relatives or any other devotees, they were there. You were there. That was 2006, 2007. Yes, and then now I have to really come to 2018. Sorry, 2019 was the last year. Because of the time, I do not have the time. 2019, we have now arrived at the present year. I have been most fortunate in becoming one of your blessed carers. All these years, you have been so very nicely cared for. I have been cared for by you, and now you have so mercifully given me the opportunity in being with your grace. Tuesdays and Sundays. And I also very much relish this most unique service. Important, and in particular, reading the Chaitanya Mangal to you. Reading that Chaitanya Mangal to him was the best for me. I've always desired to read to devotees, however, never really imagined that a time will come when I shall be regularly reading to your grace. This time for me has come far too soon. Kindly allow me to serve your grace birth after birth for eternity. The many years that you have given me, your invaluable association, has truly been for me an immense blessing, privilege, honor and pleasure. As I take your darshan and gaze upon you as you sleep at your place of residence here at Gokul Dham, I feel most fortunate, content and peaceful. I strongly feel that our relationship of Siksha Guru and disciple is indeed eternal. Incidentally, I must now add that the entire contents of this letter has now been read by me to your grace on Tuesday, 21st of May at 1630 hours. And you're fully conscious. Thank you, Shruti Prabhu, for being fully conscious. And I'd read it twice to him because he requested it. And I sign off your eternal and nitya, your nitya das anudas, NM das. Nityanandam aham naomi, sarvanandam karam param, harinama padam devam avadutam siro vanim. I bow down to the Supreme Lord Nityananda, Prabhu, who is the awarder of the highest joy of all, the presiding deity of the holy name and the crest jewel of all Paramananda Paramahamsa Avadutas. His grace Shruti Dhamma Prabhu Ki Jai. Dantaraj Srimad Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhus. We are over time by 4 minutes, and hence I'm somewhat reluctant to take any questions, any comments, yes. But questions also. If not, I'll be very happy. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.